It's not I hope, but I know. Amen. And it's not because somebody told me. I know. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back again tonight. We will be having communion. We won't be having foot washing. I'm not sure when we'll be doing that again, so just hopefully your feet won't suffer too bad. But praise the Lord. Sure appreciate that special song tonight, Sister Hannah. That just, you know, it's a, as we said this morning, it's a reflection of your revelation. Just ties right in with the thoughts that have been coming across. Just appreciate that so much. Hallelujah. I know we got talents here that are going unused. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how many specials we have at special meetings. Everybody's got one. Okay, well. This is a special meeting. You're here, so it's special. Hallelujah. You know, if you just stop for a moment and realize we have no idea how much more time we have. This might be your last opportunity to sing a special. No pressure. This could be the last chance. Amen. Appreciate all that you are doing, though. We're not belittling that by any means. We all, you're making lots of efforts, and we appreciate that. But John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Luke 22:52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests, and the captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. What changed? But this is your hour. And the power of darkness. Lightfoot says it this way. This is your hour and the power of darkness. The serpent himself is now come in Judas. And the seed of the serpent was that root that came with him. To whom it was fatal to bruise the heel of the Messiah. And now was the hour for that wickedness. Everything in its time, everything in its season, everything running according to God's time. Let's bow our heads tonight, Father, as we stand before you once again. We humble ourselves, Lord. We're just so grateful and so thankful for all that you're doing, all that you've done. Lord, just to be called by your name, to know you is to love you. Lord, we don't want to be selfish with your love. We want everyone to know you. In the power of your resurrection. Father, we pray that you'd anoint each heart tonight and anoint the hearer, Father, so that this word would be quickened to us and Lord, that it would provide the things that we have need of. It would perform the things that you sent it to perform in this day. We love you, and we just ask that you'd be with us in the remainder of the service. And Lord, if there's anything that needs to be dealt with in our lives before we partake of communion tonight, we ask that, Lord, through the preaching of the word, that you'd bring that conviction, Lord, and give us the grace to repent. And Lord, we surely give you the praise and honor and glory now. Father, be with those that are not with us tonight, and any that might be sick. Lord, we ask that for your healing virtue. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. The evening light part two, the evening light part two. I want to just go a little further into some of the things that we started speaking of this morning. So we know that there's a time allotted by the sovereignty of God to those that oppose the kingdom of heaven. And they could not operate against the kingdom of heaven except God gave them that time. It's an amazing thing. It's nothing to get worked up over or worried about. And they come against the living word made flesh, always. But they could not break the word. They cannot break the word. And they cannot alter it in any way, shape, or form. They cannot keep it from performing the very thing that it was sent to perform. Their part in coming against the word, think about this now. Their part in coming against the word was to actually prove the word by a trial. They come against the word and they end up proving the word. Now, friends, it's a scary time that is given to them. But we see that they can only do what they have been allowed to do. Nobody's getting over on God. Nobody's crossing the lines. And we see that the power of darkness, when given its time, it could not defeat light, and it will not defeat light, and it cannot defeat light in our day. Now, in the setting in our text here tonight, Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry and is now only a few weeks from his cross. Deity, of course, is not going to die, but the humanity portion is going to die. He lays down his life as a sacrifice for sin, as an offering for sin. And this life is not taken from him, but he gives it freely by choice. Now, it's not something that he wants to do, but it's something that it is the will of the Father. Now, certainly he wants to redeem mankind, but he doesn't want to die this horrible death. He doesn't want to go to the cross. He doesn't want to bear the shame. Who would? But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the powers of darkness will have a part in bringing the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ to pass. So the hour has come in our story for the chief priests and the elders and the captains of the temple to fulfill their allotted portion of the word. There is prophecy concerning them that must be fulfilled. And Jesus says, you know, why come ye to me like as if I'm a thief? Why do you have swords and staves? I'm not dangerous. I'm no threat to you. Now, friends, isn't it interesting that Jesus' enemy, Judas, he is a thief. And yet they don't call Judas a thief. Yet they treat the Lord of glory as they would a common thief. Prophecy is being fulfilled that they're not even aware of. That's so amazing. And so much prophecy in the last week or so of the life of Jesus is being fulfilled. And they are unaware of it. Even the disciples are unaware of it at that time. So God allows the negative part to catch up and to be fulfilled. And then the other prophecies are fulfilled one after another, after another, after another. Matthew 26:6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Recall that we have eyewitnesses of the power of light, and they are sitting there together at this nighttime feast. And there's no question that the miracles and the healings have taken place. Oh, the kingdom of Satan has been shook to its core. A great feast is taking place, and yet the guest of honor is quiet. And some have put him off into a corner. He's being ignored. He's not being ministered to. Now, friends, this is not the parable of Jesus with dirty feet. This happens twice in the New Testament. This is Jesus being anointed for burial by a member of the bride. The bride member that enters into his service is performing a service that will be read about for ages. You see, Mary has an insight that the preachers didn't have. And they show it by their indignation. They're good people, but they are influenced by this satanic anointing of darkness that is falling. And they miss what is being done. The elect apostles, they're witnessing a great work of God. And they're viewing it as, well, let's just say something less than great. Because if it was a great work, Brother Henry, if it was a great work, they'd be doing it. John 12:4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Isn't it easy to spend somebody else's money? They are professionals at spending other people's money. Well, he should have, she should have. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Thank you for clearing that up, 1 John. But because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. This is a year's wages that he's got his hands on. And it cost Mary her money. It cost Mary her pride. And she was misunderstood because of it. This was a great meeting that they were attending. And yet Mary comes in, and Mary does something that she was impressed to do, that she was led of the Spirit to do. And her faith declared to her that she must do this thing. And she had to ignore the disciples. She had to ignore the priests. She had to forget about what others might think. She even had to forget about what she was thinking. She didn't have any quotes for this, friends. Just a leading. Luke 22, verse 2. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now the Roman law, it's been used to kill Jesus. The priests have a part to play. Others have a part to play. But there's another part that must be played also. And that is the part of one from inside of the ranks of the message. Think about it. Satan tests each one of these boys. And Satan somehow knows that Judas is the instrument that he can work through. He's got some experience at this, by the way. And the disciples, they would not have thought that it was Judas. Judas didn't think that it was Judas. He was trying to do God a service without it being his will. He had a genuine ministry. He was a gifted man. He'd cast out devils in Jesus' name. He'd laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He'd preached of the kingdom that was coming into being. And Satan enters into this fellow. Verse 4. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. So Judas walked away from the light, and the darkness began to move in, and the darkness began to take over Judas. And the rest of the disciples, they caught a little bit of that anointing that was falling on Judas when Judas was filled with darkness. Now, of course, they hadn't been converted yet, but even if they had been converted, we can be influenced if we're not prayed up. I wonder what it was that Judas saw that caused him to go against Jesus after having a major part in his ministry for 3+ years. What happened at the feast that caused Judas to say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm not having any more to do with this. Something happened from that time.
Right.
What was it?
Right.
Mary anoints Jesus, and Judas puts forth the thought that she's doing something that's wrong, that she's doing something that's evil, and yet he's... This sounds like the political parties, doesn't it? Accusing you of the thing that they're guilty of. And getting you to question yourself. The disciples are agreeing and they're amening the devil that's now in Judas. Think about it, friends. Anointed of the devil. And the disciples are amening the devil's language. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Again, that word good, it means beautiful, excellent, choice, precious, beautiful to look at, good, excellent in its nature and characteristics, and therefore well adapted to its ends. This woman, she's not only doing a good work, she's doing a necessary work. And the church is questioning the work that she's doing. Help us, Lord. Isn't it interesting that it wasn't their money, but it was her money that was being called into question? Money that she had earned. And Jesus lets them know that this is a beautiful work. This is a good work, a lovely work. Now, friends, we've all... God help us, we've all likely misjudged things at times or called something good as something that's questionable because we didn't understand. Some are challenged when they see others doing a service for God that they're unable to do themselves. And we see a replay here of Abel and Cain in the garden, where Cain is questioning the sacrifice that Abel offers to the Lord. God has respect unto Abel's offering, but to Cain's he does not. The Lord turns around and says to Cain, Abel has given me a more excellent sacrifice. He's done a good work. And Cain looks at it, and Cain calls it a work of the devil. Cain says, what a waste. And there's blood all over the place. What a mess. The disciples missed what was taking place in this act that this woman was performing. Verse 11, Matthew 26, verse 11. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now, of course, he knows what's taking place. She's doing it for the right reason. And only Jesus and Mary at that time knew what would take place shortly after, though everyone had been told. And she stood on and she believed and manifested what it was that she believed. What it was that he had declared. She saw something that Peter didn't see. I'm sticking up for you sisters tonight, okay? She saw that Jesus was going to die, and so he needed to be anointed for his burial. It was necessary. It was needful. Recall that when Peter was told what would happen, Peter's response was, over my dead body. I'm not going to let that happen. You're not going to the cross. You're not going to die. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So Jesus is among them, but only one is at his feet at this time. Now Jesus said the same words in front of the others that Mary heard. But Mary was catching something that they were not catching. Mary went and looked for him, and after he was crucified, and Jesus met her, and he called her Mary. Mark 10, verse 33, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Let me ask you tonight, friends, how much plainer could that be? Is there any gray matter there? Or gray areas there? It's too much gray matter. Yet only one person was catching it at that time, besides the one that was speaking it. Now, I don't know, but maybe if they weren't so focused on who would be the greatest when Jesus left, maybe they would have caught it. Maybe if they weren't jockeying for position. You know, selfishness can cause us to miss the channel of inspiration. When we look into the church, and instead of rejoicing with Sister Hannah with that beautiful song that was just right on time and right in season, you might be sitting there thinking, "Well, who does she think she is? I should be up there singing it instead of her." Maybe you should be. Why aren't you? Amen. But if we spend our time, friends, at the feet of Jesus, we might get a little more than the next person who's not in the right frame of mind. There is a method to this. There is mechanics to this. So we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, doing him a service, and she's doing this work by faith. She has no word from him to do this, but she has inspiration. She's doing it when it's not popular. She's doing it when the whole ministry is against it. She's doing it when it's not understood, though it should have been. But she knows what's fixing to happen. And the others didn't see it. She's convinced. And then she's concerned. And then she does something about it. And so they just criticized what she was doing because they didn't catch the inspiration. Too many are more concerned with their standing among others, and they are sitting at one another's feet instead of sitting at the feet of the Lord. Sitting at the feet of the church, perhaps, or the feet of the pastor, or the feet of a great reputation, instead of sitting at the feet of their Lord. So she wasn't sitting at the feet of a political convention, or the feet of a newspaper, or the feet of fashions, if you will. She paid a price to sit at the feet of Almighty God in flesh. Oh, friends, when I think about that, how would you like to have that opportunity? You have it tonight. Mary's at his feet, while others, oh, I hope you can catch this tonight, while others are discussing the message. And they're discussing the message in the presence of Jesus. The presence of God unrecognized. The mighty God unveiled before us. God help us. Friends, when we really recognize where it is that we are standing in this hour and what is shortly going to take place, we will spend our time at his feet. We will take advantage of every opportunity. No complaints. We'll recognize the honor that we have to do a service to our Lord. Verse 12, Matthew 26, 12. "For in that she hath poured this ointment upon my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Now, which would be greater? For you to have some position in a church, for you to get some notoriety for some deed that you did, or for you to sit at Jesus' feet? You may do some great things in the eyes of man, but it won't be repeated for centuries. But you do a service for your Lord, and He'll broadcast it. He'll be the one to draw attention to it. And you don't do it for that reason. That's not your motive. That's not your objective. But if you seek a reward, that's a reward that you will get. But if you do a service, there's a reward for you in this life and in the life to come. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. Oh, friends, he's upset. He just got corrected by the word.
Right.
And it didn't sit well.
No.
Do you suppose this is the straw that broke the camel's back for Judas, so to speak? Now, Jesus, at this point in time, he's 6 days from the grave. And he's being consecrated by his bride. Now, friends, you and I tonight, we're not anointing him for a burial, but we are preparing to crown him.
Amen.
And we aren't going to crown him with a crown of shame. We're not going to crown him with laughter, but we're going to crown him as the great and mighty conqueror.
Amen.
So Mary's act is still being talked about today. Can you imagine how many, literally millions of times this story has been told over the last 2,000 years? Whew. She suffered a reproach. And she was in a room where supposedly she should not have been, according to them. But friends, when he is preached, she is preached also. I hope you can see that type here tonight. What an identification. She's identified with him, and then he identifies with her. Then Judas, one of the 12, went into the chief priests, the scripture says. Everything's in place now, Brother Henry. And now Judas moves into his position. He has no manuscript to read off of. He's doing this by inspiration.
Right.
It's the wrong inspiration, but it's what he's called to do.
Right.
Now his part is short. And his price is less than the price for a common slave. And he loses everything for such a little price. Now friends, this is before foot washing. Judas goes to them, to the chief priest. They don't come to him. They don't seek him out. He goes to them. People that try to turn other people from the message, they don't go to them. It's the other way around. So these chief priests and what have you, they need Judas to do this part. But they don't approach him. He goes to them and he stands with them and he becomes a witness with them. A man that preached Jesus. A man that saw the power of the kingdom of heaven in full view. Not in some dark alley. He saw it in full view. He saw the kingdom of Satan being shook to its core. And now he actually stands against what he had preached all along and had a part in. He was an apostle. In the Sardisian church age, Brother Bram says, you will note here that Judas was one of those who were casting out devils in Jesus' name. But we know that he was a devil, the son of perdition. John 6, verse 70 and 71, he says, Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. John 17, 12, While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Positive, negative, if it's scripture, it must be fulfilled.
Amen.
He goes on to say, now if language means anything at all, we must admit that Judas was chosen by Jesus, John 13, 18. Yet he was not clean, John 13, 10 through 11. Judas was also given to Jesus by the Father, John 17, 12. He says, let it be noted here that the choosing and the giving is the exact parallel as in the illustration of Moses and Pharaoh and Jacob and Esau. For though Esau and Pharaoh were both foreknown, they were predestinated to wrath. While at the end of Moses and Jacob was glorification. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 shows both reprobates and elect, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation.
Amen.
He says Judas was numbered with the 12 and actually had a part with them in the ministry previous to Pentecost. And then he reads Acts chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. The part that Judas obtained amongst the 12 and then lost was neither inferior to the ministries of the other 11, nor was it a devilish foreign ministry interjected amongst the ministries of others. Then he reads Acts chapter 1, verse 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas was a devil. Lost a God-given Holy Ghost ministry and killed himself and went to his own place. His name was even in the book of life, but his name was blotted out. It wasn't in the Lamb's book of life, but it's in the book of life. Your name goes on the book of life at sanctification, but your name can be taken off. Paul said that men among you will rise and will draw men to themselves. Now recall that an apostate is somebody in the move of God that draws men away from the move of God. Judas, a devil, was given to Jesus and then was lost. Jesus said, all that you've given me will come, except for Judas. He's very plain about that. Judas goes to the priests, and they need a Judas. But they're not advertising for it. They didn't put something in the Herald or some little one ad thing or wanted a thief, a robber, a deceiver, someone to go against the Messiah. No. He walks into their offices and offers his services to the chief priests. He walks out of one meeting and walks into another. Think about it. He was just in heavenly places. And now he's in the kingdom of Satan. Matthew 26, 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. What's it worth to you? and they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, friends, they're not begging him. They didn't have to.
Right.
And he's not asking for the world either. He's not saying, oh, this is going to, you know, for something like this. Let's see. I want a house on the hill. I want a bunch of servants. And I don't want to ever have to work another day in my life. And no, 30 pieces of silver. What doth it profit a man that he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, he's not even asking for the world. He's not even asking for a little slice of the world. He's asking for grocery money. Takeout money. Go to the restaurant money. Remember when we used to do that? He's a petty thief. His price is 30 shekels of silver, which is the price for a common house slave. He's telling them, we need to stop this. I had a part in this ministry until I didn't. I believed the sign until I didn't. A sign was given unto them. I had a part in it. But I had my doubts, Brother Juan. You hypocrite. You know, I have no respect for anybody that has that kind of a testimony. You know what they're saying? That I should now listen to you. You're saying you were wrong all that time, but now you're right. The only thing... And now I'm supposed to follow you after you were wrong all that time? How do I know you're right now? Why don't you just... Don't go away, man. Just go away.
Right.
If this isn't for you, find something that is.
Right.
Why do you have to fight against it?
Right.
We need to stop this. I had a part in it. But I've had my doubts all along. I just kept putting things up on the shelf. And the shelf was up on the wall. But you know what? One day the shelf fell off the wall. What are people selling out for today, friends? The man had been baptized. The man had had a part in the Jesus ministry. He makes a deal with the priests, and then he looks for an opportunity to betray the living word. What's he do? He surfs the web, you know, looking for a chat room. He still looks like he's part of the move at this point in time. Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. So Judas played his part with the chief priests and with the elders. And they in turn played their part, and they turned Jesus over to the civil authorities. And when Judas does his part, the tempter deserts him.
Right.
The guy that talked him into it leaves him out to dry. So now Judas doesn't fit in with these guys, the chief priests and elders. They have no use for him. And he no longer fits in with the disciples. They have no use for him. His conscience comes when Satan leaves him, just like when he left the serpent, as we were speaking about this morning. Told the serpent, you know what? You let me borrow your body, you and me, we'll go places. You'll be my right-hand man. I'll give you part of the kingdom. I'm going to take control. I'm going to take the kingdom away from this knucklehead. I'm going to go through the weaker vessel. You help me out. No telling how far you'll go. Sky's the limit. Never left the ground. Satan left the serpent holding the bag. And then when the Lord came, the Lord says, what have you done to the serpent? The serpent doesn't say, Satan, I don't see Satan anywhere. Satan, what? You want to blame this on the devil? Yeah, the devil made me do it. Oh, no, he can't do that. He can't make you do anything. You know, it's really rotten, Brother Doug. This strikes me so deeply that it gives me an attitude. And it makes me want to make a covenant that I'll never do anything to help that devil. He's rotten to the core. Satan left the serpent holding the bag. Now he deserts his own son. This is how he treats his family. That's his boy. The son of perdition. And he leaves him hanging. There's nothing good about that slicker.
That's right.
He's now laughing at his own son. I can't believe you did that. And Judas looks for a place to turn around. The Greek word translated repented himself. Notice it says, and then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. So the Greek word translated repented himself, it indicates not a sorrow for sin that leads to a change of mind and action, but a regret at being caught. Not sorry that you did what you did, but you're sorry that you got caught. A remorse that leads to despair. Peter, on the other hand, truly repented, and Jesus restored him. But Judas did not repent, and this led him to suicide. He could have, but he didn't. The same was true for the serpent. The same was true for Esau, and so on and so forth. Esau was sorry that he sold out his birthright. He was sorry for the way things worked out, but he wasn't really sorry over the birthright itself. Matthew 27, verse 4. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, they said, what are you telling us for? What's it to us? You petty common thief. Now you're coming to us with a conscience? We don't care. See thou to that, they said. This is your problem, buddy. You got paid. Now you want... These weren't Roman Catholic priests, obviously. You want us to pray for you now? That's your problem, buddy. His conscience is awakened. And in this moment in time, he knows this is the Messiah whom he has betrayed. His enemy says, Jesus is true, and his blood is innocent. Well, now you tell me. But he gets no sympathy from the priests, and he won't likely find it among the disciples either. Verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He commits suicide. Now think about this. It's strange how these words will play on one another. He's an apostle. Now he's an apostate. He preached the gospel. He had a high position, a high calling. Signs followed. He got to walk with the Word made flesh. And now he's found hanging from a tree. What a reproach. Cursed is he that hangs from a tree. He throws down the money. Verse 6. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, you know, it's not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it's the price of blood. What a bunch of hypocrites. The money came from the church treasury. Hello? You took it out of the treasury, gave it to him, and now, oh, you can't put it in the treasury? Now they're worrying about whether it's lawful and what's lawful and what isn't lawful. See where that legalism will take you? You can be absolutely right and absolutely wrong at the same time. Verse 7. And they took counsel and they bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. How would it look, after all, if word got out about this blood money? Verse 8. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. The price of redemption was used to bury poor people. So even in that curse, there was a blessing. Verse 9. Silver represents redemption. Then was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. Now, I'm not sure where Jeremy, actually this is Jeremiah, this is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Jeremy, Jeremiah. I'm not sure where Jeremiah actually said this. Now, if you look and you find it, then was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. It says it was spoken. It doesn't say it was written, though. If it is written, tell me where it's written. Look it up, if you would. And if you find it, let me know, because I haven't found it in the book of Jeremiah. But it can be found in Zechariah. Oh, there's a mistake. I'm done. I don't believe the sign any longer. I found a flaw. Does that bother you? There's a lot that I don't understand, friends. But I do believe. And I do get what I'm supposed to get out of this. I'm not Judas. And I don't need an explanation for everything in order to say I believe. You know, I've had people come, church members, you're not fooling anybody. But I've had church members come to me over the years. People have been in the message 30, 40 years. And they say, you know, I got a friend and he's got this doubt or that doubt. And I'm just, you know, wondering if you could explain something to me. So, and it's like, who cares? The things that they're bringing out, it's like, it doesn't have a thing to do with salvation. It doesn't have a thing to do with, you know, it's, oh, I'm trying to understand it. It seems like this contradicts this. There's no end to that. We're not asked anywhere to understand. We're asked to believe. Amen. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 says this. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Matthew 27:10. And gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. So this is fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. But of course, Jeremiah prophesied it as well.
Sure.
It's just not written in the book of Jeremiah.
Right.
Well, everything Jesus said isn't written either.
Right.
Now, there were four crosses on the day that Jesus was crucified. We'll pull over here in just a moment. There was an unbeliever that rejects Christ, and he goes straight to hell, and he's eternally lost. And then there's the Lord Jesus in the middle. And then there's a man that has a brief opportunity, and he takes it. And he's told, today you will be with me in paradise. And he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Save me, Lord. And then we find that there's another one who's a make-believer, Judas. And Judas goes to the regions of the lost, and he takes others with him that he's influenced. That spirit is amongst us today, friends. And I got people right here in this congregation, maybe not present tonight, but there's people right here in this congregation that get mad at me when I say things like this. I didn't write the story. I didn't write the script. It is what it is. This doesn't cause us... We're not trying to point anybody out. We're not. And we don't hate anybody. And we don't wish this on anybody. But to say that it isn't so is just to be willfully ignorant. It's to bury your head in the sand. The kingdom of darkness has an allocation of time. And that kingdom uses it to come against and to betray and crucify the living word. Now, friends, if it took place 2,000 years ago, and if the word is manifested amongst us once again, the word must be crucified a second time. But in order for it to be crucified, it has to be manifested. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us about this. He warns us of this. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He, in this case, is the Holy Spirit. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Isn't that something? He sends them the truth. They don't want it. They have not a love of the truth. They want to believe a lie. He says, all right, I'll give you a lie for you to believe. He sends them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They didn't want the truth.
Right.
He says, but I'm not talking about you tonight. He says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You know, I've shared this with you before. I'll share it with you again here tonight because it comes into my heart. I grew up thinking that everybody wanted the truth. How naive. But it's reasonable, right? Because the only perspective you have is your own perspective.
Sure.
Right? And you know that you want the truth. And so you assume everybody else says, well, besides the fact that they tell you that they want the truth, that's what they declare. But they prove otherwise. You find that there are people that are just, they're not interested in the truth. In fact, you think, wow, you know, you beat yourself up. I'm sure we've all done this. We've all said, you know, man, if I could just explain it better. You know, the problem was I went and I explained it to him, and I need Brother Doug to come over and do this. Brother Doug, would you come over and do this? He's better at explaining this. I just get all tied up in knots, but, you know, you need to come talk to my pastor. Let him explain it to you. Got news for you. If Jesus can't convince him, I can't either. But you think, you know, if I just tried a different approach, maybe I shouldn't have come out with my first thought of that woman, Jezebel. Maybe I should have. Well, I'll just give it some time because we don't want to scare him away. It doesn't change with time. What you're doing is you're allowing roots to grow together. And then they come to the test of whether they believe the word or not. And when they decide they don't, they uproot others whose roots have grown together. So it's better to find off right, you know. It's better to say, oh, okay, well, friend, God bless you. We wish you well, and I hope you find what you're looking for, but if you don't believe what's being preached here, there's plenty of other places out there.
Sure.
It never ceases to amaze me how people will come in. In fact, you bring them in. You help them out. You feel sorry for them. You make room for them. You bring them in. And then 2 years later, they tell you, I don't agree with this. Or I don't agree with that. Oh, really? And now you want to change the church that I started. This isn't your ministry. It's my ministry.
Sure.
This wasn't your burden. You weren't there when God called me to do this.
Right.
And you had nothing, you didn't do any of the heavy lifting.
Right.
Now you want to rewrite the bylaws. They're already written. Well, I don't agree with them. Well, why didn't you tell me that 2 years ago? Or 5 years ago? Why bring it up now? Oh, because we want to replace you. It doesn't work that way. Now, friends, some of you are upset that I express this, but how would you feel if you were in my shoes? This is my life. I've put everything into this. I have deprived my own children from skiing trips and hunting trips that you've been on, or whatever, cruises. We didn't do that. A vacation was me preaching somewhere and them tagging along. And my kid playing with goats. And he's easily entertained. Thank God. What would special meetings be without Micaiah? We go down to Obregon. We're having special meetings. They got a goat. This goat is the evening sacrifice. We don't know that. Micaiah grabs this big old, I don't know, 50-pound bag of rice. Is that an exaggeration? 30, 20, 50? Big old bag of rice, right? Micaiah grabs this thing, and he's waving it. All of a sudden, this goat puts his head down. And he runs at that bag. And all the Mexican kids are laughing. They don't understand him. He doesn't understand them. But they're having a ball. Another time, he finds an iguana. Isn't that cool? In fact, he found one here the other day at the Santa Cruz River Walk or whatever. He took a picture of. Now, I couldn't get the scale of it, but it looked like it was up in a. How do we get it in quiet? Somebody had it as a pet and let it go. How does he find these things? So we're there. My cat finds an iguana. Maybe it's, I don't know, this big, something like this. And he goes and he gets himself a long blade of grass. And he ties a little loop in it. Then he walks over to that iguana and slowly puts it around his neck and then pulls on it. Now he's got it captured. How did he know that that would work? He even explained to me how that works, but don't work for me. I wouldn't have never thought of that. He takes that blade of grass, this iguana is on a tree branch, and he ties it to the branch. Now he's got a pet iguana. Little does he know that that's a delicacy in Mexico. Little does he know that that's going to end up in a bowl that's presented to me. Here's this iguana doing the backstroke. Oh, they were so happy. They were so proud because here I'd labored and amongst them, and they want to do something nice for me. Here's this iguana. So I looked over at Sister Baker, and I said, Sister Baker, I'd like to share this blessing with you. We ate it. You know, it meant so much to those people. I didn't want to eat it, but, you know, it meant the world to them to be able to give something back. Right. What did it taste like? Chicken, of course. Just really tough. Another time we had special meetings, and the evening sacrifice was there. This time it was a cow. I don't know who Pedro was, but he's got the knife, and it's Pedro's job to take care of the sacrifice. So he goes at the cow and misses. And the cow's bawling and running around. He goes at it again, and he misses. He goes at it again, and he clips its leg. He goes at it again, and he punctures its lung. He goes at it again, and I mean, this goes on. I wish I had a pistol. I wish I could get the image out of my mind. That poor cow, I could still hear it breathing. This is, it don't get no better than this. This is family vacation. I just don't get that kind of thinking. I just don't get the kind of thinking where you come into a church with nothing, and then the church moves everything to help you. And now all of a sudden you've risen above the pastor. Now all of a sudden you're the one that ought to call the shots. Well, you should have helped build the church to begin with. You should have been there when we were founding. You should have been there when we were praying and looking for how to put the bylaws together. And you should accept the fact that our bylaws are a carbon copy of Brother Branham's bylaws. Well, look, I know that it bugs some of you for me to bring it up, but put yourself in my shoes. How would you feel? How would you feel if you're being challenged? First of all, I'm led of the Lord. And I've walked this way by myself at times. And I'll do it again if I have to. So it doesn't matter what other people think. It matters how the Lord leads. And then in the second case, this is the thing that just boggles my mind. Why would you stay at a church where you have no confidence in the pastor? Where, you know, the only way that this is going to work is if I correct the pastor all the time. Well, show me that in the scripture. Okay, got it out of my system. Jesus was dealing with the same thing. Judas says, why this? Why that? Why this? We could have done this with somebody else's money. And you can think that you're so right. And you might actually be right and have a wrong spirit. But I digress. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Do you realize the reason why you believe is because you were chosen to believe? You realize why you can't help but believe? It's because you were chosen to believe. And then Paul says something very got a drinking problem? So far, so good. And then Paul has to be controversial. Who put you in charge, Paul? Paul says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Oh, wait a minute. No, I didn't come by your gospel. I came by my gospel. I did this or I did that. No, if you came at all, you came by Paul's gospel. Yeah. Paul's not bragging. It's just the truth. You know what I believe tonight, Sister Beckany? Paul's gospel.
Sure. Amen.
Yes, sir.
This message isn't a new Bible. It's Paul's gospel. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. I say to you tonight, friends, stand fast. You've done all that you know to do. Stand fast. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. I'm going on with him, aren't you? I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm not going back.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'll never depart from this. I'll never leave. I might make a mess, but I'll never leave. I might slip and fall and get back up, but I'll never leave. I'll never go back. I'll never deny this truth. I'm not looking for something else. People running after blood moons and this and that. Haven't you found anything yet? Everything that I have need of, I've found. And it keeps unfolding and keeps unfolding and keeps unfolding. Pearl of great price. Hidden treasure. You sell the field. You sell everything you have and buy the field. Have this treasure. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to keep you this long, but you'll get over it. God bless you. Love you. It's an honor to serve you. It's an honor to be associated with you. Let's don't be a political party here tonight, friends. Let's be in agreement. One mind, one accord. One love, one gospel, one spirit, one baptism, one word, one message, one Christ. Hallelujah. All the way. I'm going all the way. turning back. I'm going all the way. No turning back. Going all the way. Don't you know I'm going all the way with my Lord. Going all the way. Going all the way. I'm going. Who will go with me? All the way. Going on. What an honor. What a privilege. All